In the church where I serve at St Mary's, there are three words written above the front of the church. Those words are, God is love. This is from one of John's letters. He said, God is love, and those who live in love live in God. It's the most important thing to know about God. That God loves us, He wants to bless us. He has good things for us. Jesus said God is like our Heavenly Father. He knows all our needs. He watches over us and provides for us. So we don't need to be worried or afraid. Because He is a faithful Father. What I'd like to do is to talk about what this means in terms of money and also what it means for us to respond to the love of God. I'd like to ask dear brother Pedram to read Malachi 3, 6 to 12.
خداوند قادر مطلق می‌فرماید من خداوند تغییر ناپذیر هستم و همین دلیل است که شما این نسل یهود تا به حال از بین نرفته اید هرچند شما هم مثل پدران خود از احکام من سرپیچی نموده آنها را به جا نیاوردید ولی اینک به سوی من بازگشتم و من شما را خواهم بخشید میگویید اگر ما چه کرده ایم که باید بازگشت کنیم آیا کسی از خدا دزدی میکند ولی شما از من دزدی کرده ایم میپرسید مقصود چیست مقصودم دهدهها و هدایاست ای قوم اسرائیل همه شما ملعون هستید زیرا از مال من میدزدید دهدهک دارایی خود را به طور کامل به خانه من میآورید تا خوراک کافی در آنجا باشد به این ترتیب مرا امتحان کنید و ببینید چگونه روزنه های آسمان را باز می کنم و شما را از برکات خود لبریز می سازم من حشرات و آفات را از زمین شما دور می کنم تا محصولاتان از بین نرود و تاکستان هایتان میوه فراوان بدهند و همه قوم ها شما را خوشبخت خواهند شما را خوشبخت خواهند خواهند زیرا صاحب سرزمینی با صفا خواهید بود.
This is from the book of Malachi. Malachi was a prophet, and he was challenging Israel, they were in quite a bad way. God here is speaking to the people. God and the people of Israel were bound together by a covenant. Actually, this was a covenant of love and faithfulness. A bit like a marriage covenant where people promise to love each other. The people of Israel, they promised obedience and faithfulness to God. And God promised to bless the people and to protect them. But at this time, the people of Israel have walked away from their covenant with God. They've been practicing witchcraft, worshipping other gods. They've been lying. They've been oppressing the poor. Acting in cruel ways. They were committing adultery as well. The nation was in a bad place. And God was not happy. Not happy because they promised to be faithful to him. And he says to them, I'm not going to give up on you. He says, you might not be faithful, but I am faithful, so I'm going to stay true to you. And he tells the people to return, to come back to God. And they say in this prophecy, how do we do that? How do we come back to God? Actually, there were lots of issues that they were struggling with. They could have stopped exploiting the poor, for example. But the one God focuses on in this passage is what's known as the tithe. As part of the covenant, the people of Israel were supposed to bring 10% of their harvest, one-tenth, into the temple. And God, for his part, would bless them and cause their crops to flourish and their businesses to do well. But God says, you've been robbing me. And they say, how are we robbing you? He says, you're not bringing the full tithe into the temple. And he says, because of that, you're under a curse. The way you get your money, it's all not working. You're in trouble. Your crops don't give much harvest. The fruit fall off the trees before they're ripe. Your businesses are not doing well. Your businesses are not doing well. And God says, you should do the right thing with what God has blessed you with. And then you'll be blessed in all your affairs. So what this is saying to us is that as we're faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. Suppose you come to me and you're a businessman, you say, please pray for my business. I'd like to make $1 million. I might say to you, are you giving the tithe to the Lord? Are you generously supporting the work of God? Or do you just want to receive and not give? If you want to succeed in your work, in your business, or in different ways, this is an important principle. The best kind of generosity is God's generosity to us. His blessing is amazing. Actually, Emmanuel, you have been blessed in many, many ways, in ways you don't know about. And I mentioned the money, the people that are supporting the ministry here. And also my time is paid for by Oak Tree Anglican. My time is not in the budget either. God is blessing you in different ways. And you know, the response of someone who's been blessed is to be generous. I have this saying in English. We cannot outgive God. His generosity is greater than ours. And over the years I've learned again and again to depend upon God's generosity. And sometimes that means sacrificial generosity yourself. I could give you many, many amazing stories of God's incredible provision for people who trust in Him. Just one example. When I decided to go into ministry, I knew it would be hard for our family financially. My salary dropped 60% when I became a pastor. I had three children to look after. My father was a pastor. I knew you don't make a lot of money being a pastor. But just at that time when we were doing that, God opened up a door for us. We didn't have a home of our own. I knew that once I was working for the church, it would be even harder to get a bank loan. And Debbie kept driving past this house that had a for sale sign on it. And she said to me, "Mark, we should look at that house. It's like the Holy Spirit is putting a spotlight on that house for me." This house had been advertised for $140,000. It was a few years ago. But when we went, they said it's $110,000. But somebody else is interested. You need to give us $10,000 by Thursday as the deposit. Now, we didn't have a lot of money. But that Thursday was the first day in our married life in more than 15 years that we had ever had $10,000 in our bank account. Yeah. It's like God was saying, "See, I have my eye on you." You have no business being anxious about your money. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be yours." Now praise God, that house has been such an incredible blessing to us financially. That was in Brunswick on Sydney Road, right next to Parkville. I don't know what would a house be worth now. They're more than $1 million. But God knew exactly what we needed. But I can tell you there have been times in my life when it's been hard to give to the church. Not hard in the sense that I was unhappy about it. It's always been a joy. But I know what it's like to not have enough. I know what it's like to just eat beans and rice because that's all you can afford. And I know what it's like to have an old car and just hope it's not going to break down, because if it does, that's the only car you've got. But even in the hard times, God has provided. Did you know there was a man once who was being baptized? My brother Sasan told me this story. So perhaps it was an Iranian. And he was being baptized. And as he was going under the water, his hand was above his head. And it looked like he was holding something. People thought, is he praising God? What's he doing? And someone said, brother, why were you holding your hand above your head? He said, that was my wallet. I didn't want it to go under the water. You know, when we give ourselves to Jesus, everything in our life belongs to the Lord. And we need to understand our money from that perspective. That needs to be baptized as well. I want to encourage you that God is a God of blessing. He can bless your businesses, your dreams, your plans for your life. But we need to have an attitude of blessing and generosity ourselves. We've been blessed as a congregation. By other people who live like this. Those donors that are giving us money, it's not necessarily because they're incredibly wealthy. They're doing it because they love the Lord and they can't outgive God. And they know that they are really blessed. So we've been blessed by others. And I want to encourage us as a church to step up in our giving. To be serious in our giving. This is whether you give through the plate or you give by direct debit through the week. The biblical standard is to give 10% of what you receive in income. Some may give more than that. And some may give less too. We're not under law, we're under the Spirit of God. How much is God asking you to give to support your church? At present we're spending about $70,000 a year. Actually, we need more than that, really. Andrew's salary is being paid by a grant. That's completely separate from these other things. But eventually, to support our youth, we need funds for that as well.
میخوایم جوانهای کلیسا رو تشویق کنیم و ساپورت کنیم، خودمون نیاز به این داریم که بیای پای خودمون باشیم.
I want to encourage you to look for the blessing of God in your lives.
من میخوام شما رو تشویق کنم به برکت‌ها که خداوند توی زندگی شما داره.
And to step out in faith by supporting the finances of this church.
و با ایمان قدم برداشتن به سمت برکت دادن.
Support the ministries of Emmanuel. Support your pastor who's working hard for you day and night. Malachi says, God says, put me to the test. God is speaking to you personally today. He's saying to you, put me to the test. He says, test me by bringing the full tithe, the full 10% into the temple. And he said, you will see that I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. And you won't even have enough places to store the blessing that God has for you. If we trust God with our generosity, He will bless us. I know many of you have sought God's help in your life. And He has answered with great power and with love. Will you trust Him with your finances as well? Put God to the test. Give it a go, we say in Australian English. Come on, we say. Come on, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. Give it a go. See what God can do in your life. Taste and see how great His love and His favor is for you. This is the way I've lived for almost 60 years. My father taught me to live like this. May you know the blessing of what it means to seek the kingdom of God first. And Jesus said, everything else God will provide. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness for us. Thank you for the love that you've put in other people's hearts to support us. Give us the courage to trust in you, Lord. And Lord, as people do that, I ask that you'd release your blessing on them. That you would provide more than they can hope or imagine. Show us your glory, Lord, we pray. Amen.